Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: vocation, calling, and election. Chapter 3. God's upward calling and its prize. In the previous chapter, when we saw the words in which Paul declares that I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, we approached the aspect that the goal towards which he was pressing in his own life was constituted by a prize, an upward vocation, and a place in which the prize and the upward calling are found. In the previous chapter, we also addressed the aspect that, in the scriptures, the terms vocation and calling basically equate or are equivalent. And if we continue to look a little further at the term vocation or calling, we can see that Paul is not referring to pursuing just any vocation, but rather to press toward the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. By testifying of his so objective attitude towards life, and teaching us about the essential aspects of Christian life in the world, Paul shows us that for the new creature in Christ, there is a calling from God that stands out from others and to which he singularly addressed himself, calling it an upward or sovereign vocation or an upward calling. The world is full of callings or continually calls people to get involved with the diversity of its callings or to live according to them. And in the very Christian life that God calls all people to live and walk, there can also be a variety of callings. Nevertheless, when referring to the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus, Paul teaches us that there is a calling that is above all others, which, because of its sovereign characteristic, also received the place of the highest importance in his life. Many people, and even many Christians, understand that they have a calling when they see themselves called to politics, to some public service, to health services, to commerce, to work in the field or in research, to be parents, to serve some community, and so on. However, long before or above being called to some activities in different areas of the world, all people are called to the same upward calling of God. And this is the calling that Paul signals as the supreme goal of his life and as the reason for continually pressing forward to the goal. Many parents, still very early in their children's lives, want to find out what kind of calling or vocation their children have skills or aptitudes for. However, although this may have its due importance, it is not about this type of calling that Paul testifies as the primary or sovereign calling of his life or of the lives of those who reach, by the Lord, the condition of Christians. There are parents who want to instill in their children the callings they want their children to have. There are parents who encourage their children to look inside themselves and discover their callings in themselves. On the other hand, there are even parents who discourage their children from advancing to any calling, claiming that it is not worth having hope in life. However, it is not about any of these issues that Paul gives the testimony of his life and why he is so persistent in moving towards the goal of his life. In the variety of callings that God has for his children according to the new creature, Paul had been specifically called to be an apostle or sent by the Lord Jesus Christ to announce the gospel of God, calling to which he sought to be very faithful. However, when Paul refers to the sovereign or upward calling of God in Christ Jesus, it is not the specific call to be an apostle that he is referring to, but the vocation that every Christian should also have as the sovereign calling of one's life. And why does Paul stress so strongly the sovereign or upward calling of God in Christ Jesus? First, Paul gives such high prominence to the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus because it is directed toward all people in the world, but also because of the prize that is associated with this sovereign calling. The calls that exist in the world for people to join specific groups, lifestyles, and diverse lines of thought are intense and continually found around people. However, for a calling to be qualified as good or appropriate, it is also necessary to ascertain the types of awards associated with each specific calling. And this, to know whether it is worthy of being accepted or adhered to, or if it should not be accepted but rejected. Earlier, We saw that a certain calling implies saying that someone also elaborated it. And if there is someone who elaborated a calling, there are also purposes for which someone elaborated it, which, in turn, leads to the primary need to evaluate, in advance, the purposes of the calling so that a person does not reap non-beneficial rewards arising from joining callings that are not truly appropriate or for one's good. For Christians in the world, there are callings given to them by God for temporary aspects of their lives, but as coming from the Lord, they will never conflict with the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Although God may extend temporary, specific, and varied callings to Christians, these callings are made to add up in cooperation with the sovereign calling of God in Christ Jesus, for it is in this upward calling that also lies the Lord's sovereign reward for those who follow the supreme vocation. On the other hand, the callings that do not cooperate with the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus are also those that do not work in favor of those who adhere to them. They are callings who also oppose the prize that is associated with the sovereign heavenly calling and oppose the prize that is in God for those who believe in Him, even though they may offer prizes that temporarily please people's souls or fleshly passions. In the world, there are callings that may initially look similar in terms of what a person is called to do, but, at the same time, be entirely different in the results or rewards to which they lead the individuals who receive them and practice them in their lives. That is why, ultimately, the prize is a crucial aspect that actually qualifies a calling, as exemplified below. 1 Corinthians 9:24-26. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. For a person to be able to claim that one minimally understands a calling, one should be aware of the origin of the calling that is being extended to him or her, but one should also be equally aware of the type of outcome to which this calling leads. For instance, when a person hears an expression like "you have the right to be happy," one is hearing an expression with evident characteristics of a vocation or a calling. And the purpose of a sentence like the one exemplified in this paragraph is to propose a life direction, a goal, and a life expectancy to the person to whom the call to happiness is being addressed. However, the prize or the result of a person answering this type of calling can be very negative if one does not previously understand that true joy comes from the kingdom of God or if one supposes that one has the right to happiness at any cost or at the cost of unrighteousness towards the Lord and one's fellow men. Therefore, a calling or a vocation, before being accepted and adhered to, should go through firm criteria for assessing its credibility, 1. In terms of origin and, 2. In terms of the rewards it promises to offer, as well as, 3. In terms of the credibility of actually being able to deliver the prize that is promised to be delivered at the end of a person's journey in that calling. Furthermore, knowing that there is a sovereign calling regarding the other callings is also vital so that a person does not start reversing the various callings that may be proposed to him or her, including several of those that may be presented to him or her by the Lord Himself. A temporal calling, a professional vocation, a ministerial calling, and even a paternal or maternal calling, will never be granted by God to a person for it to overtake the sovereign calling of God in Christ Jesus, to compete with this upward vocation, or for a person neglecting what should always be central in one's life. As much as there may be countless benefits in being helpful to God in the most diverse callings that He extends to people, An individual can only enjoy these benefits if one reaches the prize that is in the upward calling of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, what is the use of a person wanting to intensely respond to a calling to do works for God and forgetting the main thing, which is to remain in God and to keep loving the Lord who calls the individual to eternal life by grace, through faith, and not by human works or efforts in the flesh? Recalling that Christ Himself is the first love of the Christian, and that God is love, as explained more widely in the theme about works, labors, and services, we also present below the following texts to be remembered. Revelation 2:4-5. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Galatians 5:6. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. When people follow or practice the temporal callings that they have received from God, or that they think they have received from the Lord, as their final goals, or when they put so much effort into these callings that they are not active in following the upward vocation, they run the risk of overvaluing what is not the supreme calling and even run the risk of starting to make the callings and the passing elections the idols that they begin to serve, idolize, or worship. A person, for example, may become so focused on having received an invitation to a party, or be preoccupied with preparing to be accepted at the party, that by the time one gets to the party itself, one does not enjoy its benefits. In doing so, this person received the calling, prepared to be accepted, elected, but did not enjoy the prize, as one got tired, worn out, or became overly involved with the calling and election instead of keeping a close eye also or primarily on the aspect of the purpose of the calling and the prize associated with it. When a person claims to be answering or following a calling from God, but does so in such a way that one moves away from fellowship with the Lord, one is no longer acting according to what God has called to do. Instead, one is heeding one's personal yearnings or the appeals of others. If someone neglects the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus, claiming to be performing some specific calling of God, it is no longer a calling of God that one is following, but that which resists God and which is called, by the Lord Jesus, as iniquity. Matthew 7:20-23. Therefore by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, Paul saw beyond his apostolic calling and election. Paul saw the upward vocation of God in Christ Jesus because he also kept an eye on the prize he saw associated with the sovereign calling. The prize for which God calls all people and which he grants to all those who choose Christ Jesus as Lord of their lives and who remain in this condition. After understanding that he had already been called to the upward vocation of God in Christ Jesus, which the Lord would like all people to know and receive equally, Paul not only wanted to remain in the condition of being called, but also wanted to live and to walk in such a way that the prize of this calling was always assured him. A reason why he always remained steadfast in the Lord. Philippians 3:12-14. Not that I have already attained, or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 4:8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only but also to all who have loved his appearing. In this way, if, on the one hand, Paul followed faithfully the Lord to serve him in the calling he had received to be an apostle of Christ, on the other hand, he did not take his eyes off his heart or his understanding of the sovereign vocation of God in Christ Jesus because of the prize set before him in him who died for him on the cross of Calvary to provide him with the heavenly and eternal righteousness, and not just a crown of temporal rewards or according to the righteousness of men. Paul knew that his salvation was not in the fact that he was an apostle of Christ, but in his abiding firm in the upward vocation of God in Christ Jesus, a vocation equally available to all human beings. The Lord Jesus Christ, also in other words, declared what is most relevant in the life of every human being, as follows. Luke 9:25. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world, and is himself destroyed or lost? Revelation 3:11. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. So, what, then, is the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus and the prize associated with it for all people who receive it? Let us see below one more text that, along with many others, exemplifies or teaches us about what is the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Thessalonians 2:13-14. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The sovereign call of God is the call to eternal life settled or fully established in Christ Jesus. And the prize of the sovereign calling for an individual is that one sees this upward calling established eternally in one's life. The upward calling of God is the eternal knowledge of God and Christ Jesus through continual fellowship with the Lord. And the prize of this sovereign calling is to experience this fellowship and see it established for eternity. The award of the sovereign vocation of God is the effective establishment of the upward calling of God in the life of the one who receives this heavenly calling in one's heart and remains in it until the full achievement of the prize associated with this vocation. 1 Peter 1:3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Every individual who receives Jesus Christ as Lord, by receiving him in the heart, already experiences salvation, already begins eternal life as a new creature, and has already entered the upward vocation of God in Christ Jesus, finding oneself already reconciled with the Lord and having fellowship with God available. However, while a Christian still lives on earth, one needs to persevere in this upward calling or salvation until one obtains its eternal consolidation, which is the final prize of the sovereign calling of God in Christ. A person who has received Christ Jesus as Lord in one's heart already has salvation. However, being still in the present world, this person needs to remain and persevere in the heavenly salvation or the upward vocation granted by God, for if one moves away from the sovereign vocation in the Lord, this person is still subject to risks that may compromise one's personal salvation for eternal life. Matthew 24:13. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. In the so-called last time, expressed by Peter in the text quoted just above, there is mention of salvation that seals the salvation already received during a person's life on earth through faith in Christ Jesus. And this establishment of salvation forever, and without the risks that are on earth, is the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul had already achieved salvation in Christ. Paul already had a call to be an apostle of the Lord. However, this was not the upward calling he was referring to and which he had set as the goal for which he continued to persevere in the Lord. Although he had already received his life's salvation by accepting Christ as Lord, Paul was focused, to the end, on remaining in this salvation until the day it was settled and established perfectly, entirely, or irreversibly in his life. Paul was not content with having experienced salvation and deliverance for his temporary life on earth and being called to work for the Lord Jesus Christ in this present world. Paul wanted the prize of the upward calling of God, which was to enjoy the presence of Christ and fellowship with the Lord in his own life on earth, but also and mainly for all eternity. Although he had already received the Lord's salvation and life while he was still in the present world, Paul expressed himself very sincerely and clearly when he said that he had not yet reached the complete fulfillment of this great salvation while he still dwelt in an imperfect body. Paul knew that he needed to persevere in the grace of the Lord and in his sovereign calling until the end, until the glorious day of being perfectly and inseparably forever in the Lord, until the day when he, too, would be able in the Lord to receive even a glorified body in likeness to the body of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:20-21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Using another approach, John also reiterates the prize that is reserved in the Lord for all those who persevere in the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus, as follows. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In the epistle regarding the last text presented above, John writes to Christians, remembering that every genuine Christian is already a son of God, is already born again, and already has God's salvation, even though one still lives in the present world. On the other hand, John also shows that while this child of God lives in the natural body, one is not yet fully what one will become in the Lord. He shows that the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus is yet to be manifested in many other respects because of which Paul remained faithful to the Lord until the end. The upward calling of God in Christ Jesus is not a vocation to receive salvation merely to have a better life on earth. The sovereign calling of God in Christ Jesus is for a person to have eternal life while in the present world, but also to be eternally in the presence of God. The upward calling of the Lord is for an individual to be for all eternity in one's true homeland which is in heaven. As we mentioned earlier, the prize of the upward calling of God is the sovereign calling of God fully accomplished. The eternal prize for the Christian is that which is given already in the life in Christ while one is in the world, but which, however, becomes established perfectly and eternally for a person after one's life on earth. The eternal prize is to have Christ Jesus as the foundation of life in the present world, as well as for eternal life. 1 John 5:10-13. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself, he who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The call to be an apostle of Christ was highly important to Paul. However, it was his biggest target that made him keep his eyes fixed on God. It was the prize of the upward vocation of God in Christ Jesus that was always before his eyes, which the Lord also extends to all people who persevere in this heavenly calling. After knowing Christ personally and receiving him as Lord, Paul never let the calling to carry out the so-called works of God overcome his goal of the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus, an aspect that he witnessed through a variety of texts such as the following. 2 Corinthians 5, 1-10. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven, if indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Therefore, what would it profit Paul to preach God's calling to the world, gain everyone, and lose his own soul? Matthew 16, 26. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world, and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? How many are not the workers who call themselves servants of God and who begin to preach the gospel of God, but do not remain focused on the prize of the sovereign vocation of God in Christ Jesus, moving away from the very gospel they claim to announce? Thus, something extraordinary to be noted in Paul's life is that he had understood with conviction that his salvation did not come through works, labors, and services that he did for God, but through faith in the righteousness of Christ towards his life. Paul, also called Saul, was a Pharisee before he knew Christ as his Lord. And as such, he was one of the most zealous of his day in fulfilling the commandments of the law of Moses, thinking that he could be saved by the works of this law. However, when Paul saw that this was no argument for salvation, he left all former things behind, forgetting those things which are behind, to never look for that fruitless path again. Paul saw the calling to do or cooperate with God's work as an indescribable privilege and grace, but he never reasoned and believed that his salvation would come through his calling to be an apostle. Paul's main focus was on the Lord and the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ, which was to be saved by grace and see that salvation being sealed eternally after the end of his life on earth. Near his natural death or the end of his time in the present world, Paul declares. 2 Timothy 4, 6-8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only but also to all who have loved his appearing. What a glorious day Paul describes in this last text. Paul could look back on his life and see that he had kept the first faith, the faith of salvation by grace, the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the only one able to grant him the prize of eternal salvation. In his last words before his natural death, Paul did not make an extensive list of the works he had done, the demons he had cast out, and the preaching statistics he had accomplished. On the contrary, Paul ends the account of his past on earth by saying that he did not move away from the focus on faith for salvation by the grace and righteousness of the Lord. And now, that day, which for Paul was still a little further away at other times in one's life, had arrived or was right in front of him. The day of receiving the prize, the day of receiving the crown of righteousness from God forever and ever, was at the door, and Paul entered it forever. When we also look at the example of that criminal who was nailed to a cross next to the Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he achieved the same crown and the same prize of the upward vocation of God in Christ Jesus without ever having done a single work for God. A point that once more shows us that salvation is not by works, but by the mercy and grace of God that someone voluntarily decides to receive through faith in the Lord and the sovereign calling offered by God to all human beings. The criminal on the cross beside the cross of Christ, according to the upward calling of God, was also a winner concerning receiving the sovereign and eternal prize. Luke 23:39-43. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Revelation 2:7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. God's sovereign calling is, therefore, offered to all through the Lord's righteousness, mercy, and grace. And the work that God requires for the prize of the upward calling in Christ Jesus to be received is to remain in the work of believing in Christ as the Lord sent from the Heavenly Father to impart, by grace, salvation and the novelty of eternal life to everyone who believes in Him. John 6:27-29. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Then they said to him, "What shall we do, that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Whoever accepts the invitation, the calling, exposed by the gospel of God, and remains in the condition of believing in the heavenly grace and in the practice of confessing Christ Jesus as the Lord, will always be among those chosen for the prize of the upward calling of God. The one who does so will always be among those who run as if to reach the incorruptible prize promised to them by the eternal Lord. And all other works and callings are secondary to the sovereign calling of God in Christ Jesus and its prize. Romans 10:9-13. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, "Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame." For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 1:12-13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The calling of God to the prize of the upward vocation in Christ Jesus was the central or main calling of Paul's life. It was not the call to be an apostle, although Paul never despised this second calling either. For Paul, the sovereign calling in Christ, the central one, was so relevant that he judged that the Lord who had called him to the upward calling was also worthy of receiving the total dedication of his life in everything he did. Thus, there are no other callings, visions, missions, and ambitions worth pursuing in the world to the detriment of, or the loss of, the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. There is an immeasurable and irreplaceable sovereign or upward hope in the calling of God in Christ Jesus for all those who believe in Him, which is to be eternally in the presence of God. Ephesians 4:4-6. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. 1 Peter 5:4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away.